side will take you to 3. Bill normally would be until 6, as was the case yesterday with you two. Right around 4:30 or so today, the Giants will have game 2 from Arlington as they play the Rangers, who have now found themselves in a losing streak. And it's Jekyll and Hyde with the Giants, guys, because with all of the guys leaving during the training deadline, you would have thought things would be really bad. Yesterday they weren't, and that's because Logan Webb was on the mound. So what you're going to have, you're going to have Jekyll and Hyde with the Giants. They're going to be Dr. Jekyll every fifth day when Logan Webb is out there, and they're going to be Mr. Hyde the other 4 days. I hope I'm wrong about that. We'll see. Baseball, both stations tonight, Giants, Rangers on 1430. A's and Reds starting very shortly, right after we get off air. You'll be about a half hour away from the from Cincinnati. So I'll tell you about the schedule for both stations a little bit later on, courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one. More information, 449-4500 or precisionengineering.net on the web. And when we go over the schedules, I will mention the great fundraising that Ed is able to do for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering. Before we get to Jackson Moore, our de facto co-host on a Tuesday, he's on the air hotline. I want to mention this again, 559-320-1430. That's how you can reach Phil in the afternoon and Gonzo in the morning. So mark that down, and we're going to tell you about our friends at Lee's right now because they allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Terrific local people. Excuse me. They have been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, and very timely. So if you need them, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, give them a call, 825-5337. That's the business line. 825-5337, 825-LEES, or you can schedule on the web at leesair.com. As far as forecast goes, well, as we've talked about it, when you transition July to early August, traditionally it's the hottest time of the year in the valley, and that means for Fresno. 106 today, 105 tomorrow. The lows are going to be in the 70s, which makes it problematic at night. Takes a while to cool down. But 106, 105, then 105 on Thursday, back to 106 on Friday, 107 on Saturday. Thankfully, we hit the brakes right there, down to 106 on Sunday, so bring a jacket. And then, if you can survive the weekend, the long range does show us next week getting back to around 100 or below, 101 on Monday, and then a week from today, the forecast shows 99, 98. A week from tomorrow, and the same a week from Thursday. So now through the weekend, not pleasant. After that, it gets a little bit better. And as always, if you're around the waterways, please be very, very careful. And if you're someone who doesn't have access to some sort of cooling at home, whether it's a swamp cooler or central air, please check things out at the city where you can go to the cooling centers. You also have the ability to have a rapid transit. The buses take you there free of charge, so don't put yourself in harm's way if you can possibly avoid it. Anyway, thanks to our pals at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather again. Leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES, anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing, these are the people to see. Final reminder, it comes courtesy of another longtime friend and outstanding benefactor at Fresno State for over 3 decades, and that's Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. 26 years, Joe in business. He's over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com for more information. Gabe, who works for Joe, also has a direct email that he can help you there at gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there under one roof. And the main focus for a lot of people when they talk to Joe is about the valves that they work around at their business, tanker, delivery service operator, maybe someone who's at a dairy, a boiler service, anybody who is around the valve. You might be at a chemical plant. Anybody who works around the valve for productivity, if aspects of Joe's business, the same-day estimates, the same-day service, and most importantly, the personalized service, because you don't get hung up in the voicemail tree. If you have a problem, stop in and see him in person. If you can't get there, give him a call. Tell him what the issues are. He'll analyze the whole situation for you in a personal manner. And if it's a minor hit, it'll be a seamless transition back to a full song. If it's something that needs to be addressed more long-term, he and Gabe will set about a plan to get you back to where you need to be. And that's the reason he's had great success with the business. And also why, if you have a few minutes, he will ask you to spend some time talking with him about what he does for Fresno State, and hoping you can do the same. And the best way right now to go about it, head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link right at the top. You can't miss it. It'll take you to different areas of donation. And as we've talked before, when you get there, you start with the BDF, and the Bulldog Foundation did have a very good year, but they'd like to have an even better one coming up. Under that header, you'll also find information for Club Red, which is for former athletes, coaches, trainers, everybody to get involved at Fresno State. Also, the major giving societies have their links, the Green V Society, the Myers Champion Circle. Then under ways to give, you have Valley Co-op, which is the very important matching funds entity we've talked about so much in the last several months. And also Valley Fueled is there. And then the sports clubs, where your money goes directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me at least once a week, and he's scheduled to be with me tomorrow. He's on the board of directors of the timeout club. The Giants have an 11:35 in the morning first pitch, our time to wrap up that series in Texas. If it ends in time, the game, I'll bring Jack up for a segment tomorrow. He's going to be with me on Thursday for sure, because it may very well be by the time the Giants finish up tomorrow, we don't have a lot of time. But either way, Jack will be with me, and we'll talk more about the Timeout Club. It's really important for Vance and everybody. It's a great social organization, and also a lot of inside information during the meetings there. And Jack has said if you want more information, it doesn't cost that much to join. They'd love to have more members. Give Jack a call directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com. You'll also find links for other men's and women's sports there under sports clubs. And then finally, the singular word more is there. That header tells you more about tickets and parking for events on campus, how to order through iPhone or Android, etc. One-stop shopping there at GoBulldogs.com. And the final reminder, as we have once again become the flagship for Fresno State, the great partnership between the university and the station, between Chris and Ryan and Enrique and Nico and everybody at the station, and Saul and Garrett and the administrators at Fresno State, working together local to local to drive things forward through Bulldog Sports Enterprises to help Fresno State financially. If you want to get involved there, whether from a business standpoint or just privately, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll find information there. Call the station. Always someone available to talk to you about what you can do to benefit Fresno State, and we certainly look forward to our second run with the Bulldogs as their flagship, kicking things off September 4 when the Bulldogs start things at the Coliseum against USC. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, allowing us time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you about the schedules a little bit later for 1430 and 790. And thanks to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And right now on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, our great friend, de facto co-host, King of the Barkboard, it's Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I am hanging tough, Jackson, and it's always great having you on air. He'll be with me on Friday as well. A lot to go over. And let's get started with fall camp, which started now for the first time this particular day. And what have you taken away from the first offering, Jackson, you saw? As much of it as you might have been able to see.
Yeah, a lot of energy out there today. A lot of the players came out pretty excited, amped up, yelling and whatnot. A lot of them kind of just kept their head down, knowing they were about to practice with some triple-digit heat. So a little bit of a mixed reaction coming out of the gates, but they're going to have to get used to it because it's going to be like that for about a week. Just saw, you know, the Coach Hens got them going pretty early. They went through some kind of high-tempo drills before they got into it. Coach Hens said in the closed portion they had over 100 snaps from scrimmage. They do the two snapping. They have half the team on one side of the field, half the team on the other side. They get a lot of reps in, and they'll do that for a couple of weeks here in camp before they figure some of the depth chart out. But some key plays were made, a couple of plays from the secondary, a couple of players like Cam Cole and Jamarian Briggs were mentioned as having some highlights. Coach Entz mentioned Jaleel McClain as a player that had a good day today. Sounds like Christian Martin got off to a good start in the quarterback competition. But probably the biggest headlines are injury-wise. Coach Entz confirmed some situations today where Brandon Ramirez is going to be out for the season. With some talk on media day that maybe he might be back before the end of the year, but that appears unlikely now. And also Edward Fonua has an injury we were aware of at Bark Ford about a month or two back. And Coach Entz has confirmed that also as being season-ending, which is tough because he's the only returning starter on the interior line. So two guys they got to figure out how to replace here in camp. And Coach Entz did confirm they're going to try to pin down the starting quarterback about 10 days before the season opener, which is what they did last year against Kansas with E.J. Warner. So some of the biggest questions were answered, and then now it's time to let it all play out.
You and I have talked about Brandon Ramirez probably half a dozen times since the injury, wondering what the situation might be in the offseason. Now it's clarified. Now Jackson in this five to play five, this then becomes a lost year in this situation. Is that correct, or is there an exception at all?
So every freshman coming in starting this year and beyond will be held to that five for five rule. No exceptions outside of some very different loophole type things. There's the missions for women's sports. There's pregnancy. There's a very few small situations where they're going to oversee the five for five for any other situations. But players that are coming in this year that have already been in college football, they can choose whether the new rules or the old rules fit them best. So Edward Fonua, for example, I believe if they just said five for five is in effect now, he would be done. But since he can go with the old rules, should get that year back, be able to come back next year. Brandon Ramirez is a little tricky because he's been injured a couple of times and he's redshirted. So I don't think he's going to get probably the full 7 or 8 years maybe he could have been eligible for under the old rules. I'm not sure how long they're going to prolong that, but he won't be simply capped at the five for five. He should get some extra time at the end of his eligibility.
And that's why I asked it the way I did, because we are still in that very interesting, to-be-determined kind of situation. Some of the exceptions, and you can call them loopholes or exceptions, and then, like you said, people that have history already, if you keep what you have now, then you do have to also be burdened by the redshirt years you used, et cetera. With Brandon, I mean, I would, Jackson, more than any other sport, the five for five with football is interesting for those coming in because so frequently, as you know, guys do not want to stay around that extra year if they think they have a future in the game beyond it because it's so physical and it delays your opportunity somewhere else. A guy like Brandon Ramirez, being a local guy, do you think he is someone that will try to play every possible year he can at Fresno State because of the circumstances?
I would think so, especially he's been in the spot where a lot of other players probably would have transferred. There was talks about before the coach and staff got here, it didn't look like playing time was probably going to be in his future anytime soon. And fortunately for him, he was a good fit in the new system and impressed the coaches and was a real feel-good story last season. Unfortunately, it's going to be on pause here. Saw him at practice. He was in a little bit better shape than I expected, but it still doesn't sound like he's going to be able to make a comeback before the end of the season. But would expect him, as long as there's no complications, to get back for 2027 and as long as they'll let him play in the NCAA to keep going on it.
Well, he's a good guy. He's a local guy, and he's part of that triumvirate that what we hope we were going to see this year. But from what you've told me, with Donaldson and Luke still there, the thunder of that fullback you have mentioned to me is taken care of already, in your opinion, right? I mean, they're going to miss Brandon, but they have someone in the wings ready to go, correct?
Yeah, it looks like Julius Gillick's ready to be that guy. There was a good spring performance from him. He is definitely a bruiser. He's probably even bigger than Brandon Ramirez, at least definitely height-wise, I think a little bit of weight as well. So he brings a lot of that physicality to the position unit. I like the term Luke and Donaldson are thunder and lightning, but Ramirez, Gillick, Arsenault, those guys were hail and wind and tornadoes. I mean, the backfield had everything last season. So hopefully Gillick can pick up the slack there. Tariq Thomas can maybe be one of those guys too. And maybe even the true freshman, Jadis Lucky, is a guy that might be able to have some sort of role by the season's end. So they still have quite a bit of depth there, but they need the back three, I think, to step in that five-man that you hope to have. And hopefully they don't suffer any more injuries along the way.
Well, we did, as you just referenced, a five-deep backfield last year. And one more time, the way this team is going to play offense, it's critically important, because we're going to see fourth-quarter games, that they are able to dominate the clock late, limit possessions, and against quote-unquote superior competition like a USC, on paper anyway, that's the case, that you can keep yourself in a game and turn it into a possession here or there that you can ultimately pull off the upset. And then in conference, as we talk, Jackson, you know, I don't know how well respected the conference is going to be. We'll find that out at the end of the year during bowl game time and a little bit in the non-conference year. But without question, and I know that Boise State is favored, this would appear to be a very well-balanced conference, and you're going at least, what, three or four deep with a legitimate chance for maybe half of your conference to win the title this year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say so, you know, especially when you factor in eight teams and two are getting into the conference championship game. I think if you're anywhere from two to five, even if you concede Boise State as a favorite, you feel like you've got a shot to at least get the game, and then you've got a 50-50 chance of winning it. So I don't foresee Boise State as a huge favorite. They did get some recognition in the coaches poll today. I believe they're at about number 36 if you stretch out the others receiving votes. San Diego State got two votes. I would think Fresno State would be up next out of the Pac-12 group, but Texas State, Washington State, I think they're really going to be in that mix as well. So, and I think there is a bottom tier, but I don't think that tier is too far off. I don't think Oregon State, Colorado State, Utah State are necessarily going to be easy wins. In fact, the Bulldogs lost to two of those teams, and it could have been three pretty easily last year had they not did what they did in Corvallis. So, it's going to be a battle each week, and that can be challenging to get that respect if you cannibalize each other, but hopefully some non-conference appearances lift the conference a little bit in September.
And with the limited conference play, because the flex schedule will not count toward conference championship, correct?
Yeah, so you'll have seven conference games, and
right,
you know, they're going to try and position that flex game to be as beneficial to the contenders as possible, which hopefully is a good plan.
Right, for the overall scope of things, when you're looking postseason, yeah, that's the case. And as I've mentioned, I grew up with the Pac-8, so used to seven-game conference schedules, and also knowing that because of the paucity of games, I mean, you have what, SEC going to play nine. When you have only seven, any loss can be the one that takes you out. And so frequently, I think you see it's not so much who you play, because you know that it's where you play them, right? As we've talked over and over again, Jackson, and it applies no matter how many conference games you play, but in particular, when you only have seven, you want the team you can beat regardless, or you feel you can beat regardless. You want those to be the road games. The teams that are more problematic that are on your schedule, you would like them at home. You do not want the converse. For the Bulldogs, when you look at this schedule, did this one play out in a positive way, or do you look at it and say, there are certain games I much rather would have seen on the road to have those road games of the others back at home? How do you view it, home and road, the way the luck of the draw fell for Fresno State?
Well, I think just you got seven games and you've got four on the road, three at home. That's a tough break, regardless of which four are on the road and which three are at home.
That's rotation. That's
of course, you get. Of course, the flex game's at home, but that's not going to do you any good trying to get to the conference championship game. So that's unfortunate, but I like how there's no repeats here. Basically, all the teams where Fresno State left off in the Mountain West, that is continuing. They're not going to Boise State back-to-back years or anything like that. Even Oregon State as a non-conference game, they're coming to Fresno State after the Bulldogs went there last year. Fresno State goes to Washington State after the Cougars came here two seasons ago. So it's very neat. It's just when you factor it into the 26 season, there, of course, there's going to be pros and cons. I think just having Boise State at home is a big deal, to not have to go back to the blue turf, and you get that game in front of a Fresno State crowd that could be pretty amped up if the Dogs are coming in on a roll. At Washington State, at San Diego State, at Texas State, I think those are three of those teams that are contending for conference championship spots, and you got to go to all three, so that's going to be tough. You do get two home games at the end of the year, even though one doesn't count for the standings. It does set you up nicely into the postseason if you've got something to play for. So I just think virtually all these games are going to be competitive, and I'm not stressing too much over any singular situation here, but three at home, four on the road is certainly an unfortunate one to get.
You know, we were talking the other day about back in the old PC2A days, even during stadium builder time in the 70s, the PC2A was only five teams, Jackson, and it was all California-based, and weather outside of, you know, an aberration of a storm here or there, weather, elevation, none of that was ever a factor. You know, you go into Long Beach or Fullerton, what have you, right, to UOP.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't worry about weather. In this conference right now, with San Jose State out, UNLV out, you've got yourself a conference where you really do have to look at when you play in certain locales, because it can be hellaciously difficult in Pullman. And by the way, our sympathies out to everybody in Spokane. Gonzaga, of course, is going to be in the conference for basketball, and it's a great feather in the cap. For the conference, feather in the cap, but Jackson, the wildfires that we've talked about over and over again have destroyed a lot of the city of Spokane and a lot of Spokane County, so our sympathies to all of them there. But when you look from a football standpoint, outside of going to San Diego State, is there anywhere else in this conference right now where you don't have to look very closely at the date that game might be played on the road?
Well, I think logistically, at least, the road schedule is pretty nice. You don't have to leave California much. You get USC and San Jose State at the beginning of the year.
I don't mean just this year. Hold on a second. I mean, in a given if we stay in this configuration, except for a given year going to San Diego State, you do have to hold your breath when the schedule comes out, depending upon where you happen to be going and when, right?
Yeah, and November 7th at Utah State could be a prime example. Even that game's not worst-case scenario by any means, but could be cold. It could be a game you don't necessarily want to be there at if the circumstances are right for whatever reason. We've seen those happen at Air Force a couple of years ago. It was a pretty miserable trip, and the game Fresno State should have won. So I think you worry more about that. Is there a location at a time that could serve you a loss where it shouldn't be one. Fortunately, Texas State, from my understanding, weather's pretty good in November. I guess you compare them with San Diego State, but a lot of other places are not going to be kind to travel to, and I imagine some of those are going to appear in late November in 2027 and beyond.
Well, I know state of Texas, you never say never about anything weather-wise, okay? I'm telling you that right now. You can generalize all you like, and you never know when you get one of those thunderstorms coming in where you just cannot believe what you're seeing. The rain is coming at you in ways that you didn't think it was possible to come at you. So I'm just saying what we used to see in the divisional setup in the Mountain West, it's not as cozy as saying, well, we're worried about going to the islands where it might be 86 and windy, that kind of thing. So, you're kind of taking Hawaii, San Jose State, and indoors in UNLV, you're sort of taking those games out of the mix. And it is going to be interesting, though it should not be of great impact this year. And also, I guess, Jackson, if you are going to run the football a lot, it's not that bad a deal to have an off track, because it can affect the other team as well, right?
Yeah, true. And that's what they're still going to aim to do, even with some changes at quarterback and whatnot. I guess it's going to be a run-first program, and one that, you know, they talk about defense traveling, which was the case for most of the road games last year. You know, if you can do those two things, weather won't bother you too bad.
By the way, speaking of the defense, I do want to mention that Simeon Harris is on the watch list, the Nagurski watch list, which is for the best defensive player in college football. And also, Lafitte is on the Outland Trophy list for the best interior lineman in college football. Now, admittedly, you get a lot of guys on those lists, but it's still a real good idea for recognition to be part of it. And those are two guys the Bulldogs definitely need during the season. Now, you brought up Martin. We've talked about quarterbacking Jackson. I know it's open competition. Does he have an advantage, at least slightly, going in, or is it really flat-footed, period, between he and Mandel?
I think so. I just think from what we saw in the spring preview when we last saw this team, it did seem like it was Martin 1A, Mandel 1B, just in terms of the reps. Martin was usually out first, right. Mandel second. Martin mostly with the first team, Mandel kind of with the first and second team. So that's my assumption going into this. I know both have been praised quite well from the coaching staff all offseason and coming into camp. I expect them both to see a lot of reps here, and 10 days before the opener puts the Bulldogs at about, August 25th or so. So they've got as long as 3 weeks here to try to pin this one down, and I'm sure there'll be some ebbs and flows. Right now, certainly feels like Martin has a leg up, but that could certainly change within a few days.
What's your gut tell you about the SC game? You know, we talk a lot about 2005, and one of the things about that game is, as we've talked over and over again, as great as USC was, and they were obviously during their dynastic run at that time, that was a really, really good Fresno State team. One more time, the Bulldogs were 16 in the country when that game was played in November, at a time that it never would have been played otherwise, except for USC having the scheduling issue, beginning with Washington State, as we've talked, that had to move a game, and Pete Carroll found himself going 3 weeks without playing a game. Otherwise, you wouldn't be facing USC in November. It would either be start of the year, or if you were going to see the Trojans later, it would have to be a bowl game. But where USC was on that great run, that Fresno State team easily could have been 8 or better in the country, because the loss earlier in the year to Oregon should not have happened. So when you look at it this year, taking 2005 off the board, is there any other comparison to going to the Coliseum? So I'm not talking about the game that Carr played in the Vegas Bowl against SC, but as far as traveling to the Coliseum, is this the first legitimate chance that you believe they have to win since 2005, or are you still not there?
Well, you know, I hope this one kind of lines up with 2019, which was also a season opener. I think this USC team's a lot better than that one, but I think this Fresno State team is also a lot better. I'm sure a lot of people remember. But the Bulldogs opened the season there at USC. They ended up losing by 8 points. They were driving late in the game. They could have had a chance to tie. So, you know, you hope that the Bulldogs can make it that kind of game, stay close, try to make their move late, maybe be better suited for something like that with this group than the last. I think ultimately it's going to come down to how Fresno State stacks up in the trenches. We know the Bulldogs were able to do what they wanted most of the time last season against Mountain West opponents at the time, but really our only sample size against the power opponent was Kansas, and it was pretty ugly. I think it would have been different at the end of the year compared to the beginning of the year, but can the Bulldogs establish themselves in the trenches against a USC, a number 14 team in the nation per the coaches poll today? You know, there's a lot more margin for error even now with the power conference schools than when Pat Hill's teams were pushing teams around, you know, their transfer portal and NIL and whatnot. There's not a lot of misses on these rosters, so there could still be a pretty sizable gap, even though Fresno State's in a good place. So what I assume is either the Bulldogs are going to be able to battle in the trenches and try to ugly this game up and keep it close, or they're going to have to try to get a little bit exotic and try to keep up And we're not sure what that might look like if they have to get in that situation. So hopefully they can run the ball effectively, make it a game where there's not a lot of possessions, not a lot of points, and it comes down to a few key plays late. That would be ideal. I think we'll see pretty early in that contest whether the Bulldogs have the guys to do it or not.
Well, a couple of things. I don't think you're going to lose your best offensive and best defensive player early in the game, which is what happened with Hayner and Williams. And I also don't think that we're going to see Caleb Williams running around against Fresno State unless there's some sort of a loophole that I don't know about and the Bears aren't paying attention. Well, is that the extent of your comment? Just to laugh at me. All right, fine. What I'm saying is, last time they really faced a tough quarterbacking issue, did they not?
Yeah, it was. It felt like there was almost nothing they could do. I mean, that team was so loaded at wide receiver, and if you did manage to have each of those receivers covered, Williams was just going to take off. You needed 12 or 13 Bulldog defenders on the field to keep up with that offense or to have a chance. So I don't think that's what this USC team is, and I think the Bulldog defense is a little bit better, or should hopefully a lot better equipped than they were that season. But, it's still a good USC team, but not quite to the level of Caleb Williams and company.
Well, Williams is like one of those guys when you play pickup games, right, that you get in the huddle and you draw it up and you just take it and run with it anyway. So it didn't make any difference. So you'd be screaming, no direct runs by the quarterback. Remember that? So you'd put the halfback right next to him, right, and you'd snap it to the halfback who would then hand it to the quarterback, and he'd run with the damn thing the entire time. So, and look, Williams, I think, is doing okay last I checked. If the Bears can find a defense. You want to predict whether the Bears are going to find a defense or not, Jackson? Because last year they sure as hell didn't find one. So we'll see what happens. It'll be an interesting NFL year. We'll have a chance to talk about Bulldogs in the NFL as well. One of the things here I want to ask you about in the 5-5 and the clarification by the judge, by Sweeney, and again, and I don't want this to become a gender issue. I made it clear with Claudia Wilkin that my issue with her rulings, it had nothing to do with her being female. It had everything to do with the fact that by her own admission, she did not know anything about sport. Again, Sweeney making the judgment and saying, I really don't know anything about college football, et cetera. Jackson, is there anybody who could find themselves back on this roster, or is it too late football-wise to benefit anybody at Fresno State, or would anybody really want to come back in that would be granted that fifth year? That injunction is still hanging out there, but it would have to be adjudicated. I don't think that's going to happen right now. Anybody you'd say, hey, he's coming back because of this?
I think logistically, even if it was an ideal situation, it would be a challenge. You're talking about a player that would have been out of the locker room for the last 7-8 months now, suddenly returning. The timing of this is certainly not ideal. Just as far as, again, logistics go, players that could, I believe there's only two on Fresno State's roster last year that qualify. Dylan Lynch would be one, the kicker who played 4 years and was not able to get the fifth because of the way that the rules shook out and the timing. Maybe he might be able to come back. I mean, he's from Bakersfield. I'm assuming he's in town. He's been staying in shape and trying to make his way to another level. You know, he's won. EJ Warner technically would have another year of eligibility. He has gone a little bit further in his pursuit of an NFL opportunity, so not sure how that impacts potential eligibility. I think Fresno State is in a pretty good place at kicker with Manaki Watanabe. I think they like him. Don't think they want to complicate the quarterback situation any further, especially after the trouble they had last year. So I don't foresee them bringing anyone back. You know, maybe if I know there's some fight from the NCAA here about trying to reverse some of this, and there's been some questions about whether these players would be eligible for the portal or not. Maybe Fresno State's got a spot to bring in someone if they really have a need via the portal, if something works out just perfect. But I think it's a situation where there are some teams that are going to have some players come back if this all stands, but it doesn't seem like Fresno State's one of them.
You know, and you bring up probably the most cogent point, I would think, right now. And it might be different in basketball and baseball. You have a little bit more time. But right now, Jackson, unless you're a special teams performer of some kind, right, a kicker, a place kicker, a punter, or a returner, someone who has a specific talent that your team has a void in right now, it probably doesn't work on either side. And even with a place kicker, if you have aspiration to kick professionally, you probably don't want to spend another year, right, without having the opportunity to show up at camps, correct?
Right, and no unexpected players showed up today as far as older ones. Did not see Dylan Lynch appear, so I'm not counting on that one, even though, it wouldn't be as difficult as a positional player, but I think the Bulldogs did do some work in the portal to bring in Watanabe. I think they're going to invest more in him here moving forward, and if he can kick as well as he did last year at the D2 level, it would be an upgrade for Fresno State, as good as Lynch was a lot of times. I know he had some pretty rough games, but on the whole, his numbers were pretty solid over his career. So I think it's a situation where if the right player in the portal expresses interest and it's now feasible to bring him in at a position of need, you know, maybe they do that. But even there's not a whole lot of clear question marks on this team. And where there appears to be, like at cornerback, there's some young players the Bulldogs are pretty excited about. So I don't think the Bulldogs will be buyers by any means.
Well, Dylan Lynch, no matter what happens in the future, will be always fondly remembered for the onside kick against San Diego State. Without it, you don't get a title. And I know he'd like to have the bowl game kick back or UCLA, whatever, but overall, he was a very effective kicker here. And I wish him well. You know, it's a tough gig trying to get any kind of position in the National Football League as a kicker. So we'll see how it plays out. One of the other things about the sidebar, because the NC2A is still challenging as we talk, unless they did something in the last hour, they're still challenging the validity of this injunction that enables players from that 2022 year to have the extra year. How about the danger, Jackson, of bringing somebody in and then having the ruling go the other way? Do you think teams would then be hit, schools would be hit with playing an ineligible player, or do you think there'll be an exception to that if they decide to adjudicate it differently here ultimately with the higher courts?
Yeah, I'd like to think they can get it figured out before the season actually starts. At least then, worst case scenario, you brought someone back for a couple of weeks and now you got to scratch them off the roster again. And it's a spot for a lot of teams where there may be some players left in favorable situations or left in good standing, didn't make it to the next level. You know, everything lines up where they want those players to come back and there's no reason not to, other than the fear that they come back and they're deemed ineligible. So it's a tough spot all the way around for programs to try to maneuver this. And if there are players in the portal that are gettable and then you make efforts to go get them and then they're deemed ineligible, that's a tough one. So it's really been an unfortunate timing for all this. And there are going to be some teams that probably throw the needle on this just right and get a bonus. But I don't think there's going to be many that have significant impacts from all of it when it's all said and done, at least for football. You know, I think basketball could be a different story.
Right. And by the way, we're not going to have time to talk basketball today. We will do that on Friday when Jackson is back with me and get his take of the result in the Bahamas and whether they mean a whole lot or not. I know they were easy victories, and we've talked, it was more about camaraderie and bonding, et cetera. We'll get to that on Friday. I'll leave with this thought, Jackson. Reggie Bush wants to know if we can get this retroactive, the eligibility to 2005. He says he's got a couple more houses he wants to put his relatives in. So you have any comment on that? And he wants his Heisman back immediately. He didn't want to have to wait the entire time. All right, so OJ's Heisman, I think, is still in Hanford. Are you aware of that? Don't you dare.
I am not.
We got so much trouble. We had a guy who was an agent in Hanford who called the show and said, after, OJ had some problems. post-professional career, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, and I certainly don't want to speak ill of the dead, may he rest in peace, but we had an agent in Hanford call up and say, you know, I've got O.J.'s Heisman right here. So what, you have Reggie Bush's Heisman? Or he has it back, doesn't he? Or did he?
I don't know.
You don't know? We'll look it up. I'll tell you what. I think they gave Reggie his Heisman back. I believe that's the case. They didn't give USC their title back. You know why they didn't? Because they didn't win it, Jackson. They lost to Vince Young in Texas. I told you, it turned out bad for both Fresno State and SC. The minute that game ended on November 19, 2005, both schools would like to forget. If that was, I told you, they had the piece on ESPN.com last week. The top 100 games that changed the face of college football over the entirety of the college football tenure. And that was number 10. What they left out was, after that legendary game ended, 50-42, both SC and Fresno State would like to have selective amnesia about how the season's finished for both. That, I think, we can all agree on. Jackson, I appreciate it. Deals on the board right now before Friday or anything, or between now and Friday or any time. You don't have to stipulate something that starts now and ends on Friday. What are the deals on the board?
Yes, we have deals that are new today for the start of fall camp. You can try your first month for just $1, get in now and get some access on fall camp. We'll be out there all month long covering everything that's going on at practice. You can also join in for 60% off the year. Comes out to $4.67 a month for the year. Gets you locked in for the full 2026 season and basketball, sports, football off season through the all the way around till next August for a big discount. So hope people head to barkboard.com. We're going to have a lot of coverage and stories and our VIP updates on what happened at day one today.
And nothing better than going to the insider part of the board during fall camp. Appreciate it, my friend. I'll talk to you on Friday, and I'll tell you, I have a reasonable facsimile of O.J.'s Heisman in the trunk of my 62 canary yellow Dodge Dart. So if you like it, just make a bid on eBay, okay? And I'll go ahead and bring it to you. I also have a couple of really good Rolex watches. It's just that Rolex is misspelled on it. That's the whole thing. So give me a call. We'll talk about it off air. I'll talk to you on Friday, Paizan. Take care. I'll see you.
All right. You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Our good friend Jackson Moore, who just never knows where this show is going, because I don't either. We'll take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. Got about an hour and a half for you. And then the blazing hot San Francisco Giants will continue their amazing post-trade deadline stretch of one win in a row. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 253. Phil, hand it up in just a moment. Quick update, Reggie Bush did get his Heisman back in 2024. 1-05 after a 14-year wait after he had to forfeit it. Finally, April 24, 2024, the Heisman Trophy Trust did formally reinstate Reggie's Heisman Trophy. And then he went out and sold it so he could get more land to buy homes for his family. It's an old joke, ladies and gentlemen. Reggie is sick of hearing about it because it really doesn't make any difference anymore. But at the time, one has to wonder if Reggie would not have played that game in 2005, would USC have won it? Probably not. But you know what? I'm not even going to bother with the O.J. stuff. I'm just going to leave that alone, too. My apologies to the entire Simpson family. All right. Upcoming schedule, courtesy of our pal Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisionemg.net. Ed does such a great job as a benefactor across the valley with one of the best businesses you're going to find anywhere. And through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus, he benefits Fresno State, unifying athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. A lot of those graduates go to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering, and we thank Ed for everything he does for us here at the station, and in particular this show. As far as the lineup goes, the Giants will have game two, the winning last night in Arlington against the Rangers, who are struggling right now. The they're still in the chase, of course, in the very tightly packed AL West. 4:35, the pre, 5:05, the first pitch. Tomorrow, 11:35 in the morning game. It may take the entirety of this show out. We'll see how that plays out. Phil with you normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil show, some good eats as well, El Paso across River Park. Paul Meadows has a fine show on Saturday morning on 1430 Central Valley Sports Report, live from First Wing Sports, 10 a.m. to noon. Gonzo in the morning is back with us. Great to have him back. Valley Rise show, terrific show each and every day, 6A to 9A. Both Gonzo in the morning, Phil in the afternoon can be reached on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. You'll have about an hour and a half with Phil today before the Giant game gets started. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. Tonight, the A's are over on 790, starting in Cincinnati. They have a 3:40 first pitch our time, so a 3 o'clock pregame. Stay tuned for that. The A's are really having trouble with their pitching, but they're very entertaining as far as the offense that they're able to put out there. Finally, everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. Please get involved with Bulldog Sports Enterprises. If you can, it'll benefit Fresno State, that's for sure. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply. Thanks to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to Jackson Moore and, of course, Gunner on the board. Phil is coming up, and I will see you guys whenever the Giants are done tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.